From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Luis Hernandez. On the first week of the 2016 legislative session, more than 2,000 teachers from across the state showed up to greet lawmakers. They were organized by the Florida Education Association, the state's largest teachers union. Their complaints include too much testing, vouchers, low pay, and there's more. And those same issues have also led to another problem, a shrinking teacher workforce. Between 2006 and 2014, the number of people applying for educator certificates in Florida has dropped by almost 17%. We're joined now by Joanne McCall, president of the Florida Education Association. Joanne McCall, after the rally at the start of the session, what has the conversation been like with lawmakers? Are they talking to you?
Absolutely, they're talking to us. They want to hear what we have to say, but we'll see what they do as far as legislation goes. Some of the things that are out there are things that we have not liked to begin with. The best and brightest seems to be running through committee, and that's not a bill that we like. There are at least 14 bills floating out there that in some form or fashion add to the current school day, not extending the day, but add something to a teacher's actual workload of what they have to teach or do. And when you look at all of those things independently, they're not bad ideas. But when you're adding them all together on stuff that you already have to do, something has to come off the plate in order to make that work. And at some point, legislators need to ask educators what's best for their students.
Do you get the sense that there are at least enough lawmakers who are listening and who are pushing for at least anything that's going to be helpful?
Let's talk about that. The current configuration that we have in the Florida House and Senate, we have some folks who really listen, and then probably the majority, I would say, do not. We have a core group in the Senate that I would say that's the place that is the most advantageous to those that are in education, because they really will listen and they have some decorum and will listen in that regard. But for us, springboarding off this rally and how energized and angry my members are across this state, I want to keep that same pressure on through this legislative session. I want them on our key issues to be contacting their House members and their senators so that they are clear and understand that we are mad and we're not going to take it anymore, and we're going to carry that to the ballot box on November 2016.
Let's talk about testing, because it's obviously a popular topic. We're dealing with Florida standards as the new system statewide, but what are the biggest concerns teachers have about this system, what we're doing, and just testing in general?
Well, testing's out of control, and what we like to say is we're not opposed to testing. Heck, teachers invented testing. But the way that we are making it all or nothing in the FSA testing and the former FCAT system isn't good for kids, and it's not good for schools. And and all we're worried about is this almighty test at the end of the year. From March until May, it's testing season in some form or fashion, and the kids are losing 2 months' worth of teacher time that they could be being educated in other things. We are all so worried about this FSA, and it's not fair to the kids. It's not fair to the schools. It's not fair to the parents, because what we're doing is we're robbing the kids of a good quality education, because we're only concerned about making sure they pass this one test. So things like art and music and recess and PE and really great electives in high schools are going by the wayside, because we have to make sure that we're teaching all of those things that are on the FSA. And I have to tell you, we don't have much faith in the FSA. They rolled that out last year. It was a debacle from start to finish of how the test couldn't withstand the bandwidth within the state. Kids were losing their tests. They had to restart their tests. So that in itself bothers us. But yet students are going to be held accountable to whether they graduate or move to the fourth grade. Teachers are going to be determined their salary and whether or not they are retained in the school based on these tests. And then I have to say, this test was field tested in Utah. I just want to say that again, Luis. This test was field tested in Utah, and as last I can tell, Utah's population is not like the Florida population, and I believe this test is biased to our minority students.
Have you ever thought about why lawmakers are, it seems, almost married to testing? Why do they want to do so much testing?
We at the FEA and myself personally believe it's tied to money. These are high-powered lobbyists that contribute high dollars to campaigns, and this is a moneymaker for test companies, book companies, those that write the standards, those that grade the test, those that create the test. They're making millions of dollars off of Florida's kids. And I have to say, all of those folks who are making money are making it outside the borders of our state. So we're shipping tests and things other places to be graded and checked on, instead of, you're not even keeping the money within your own borders of your state to benefit the citizens of Florida.
Let's talk about another hot topic, which is teacher evaluations, also linked to this test. What do teachers feel is a fair and workable system for evaluating, promoting, even firing teachers? What do they believe is the right way to do it?
Well, they have now changed the system based on Senate Bill 736 that everybody starting from July of 2014 became an annual contract teacher. So at the end of every year, if you're an annual contract teacher, you can be let go with no reason at all. And you can be highly effective and rated highly effective according to your principal, but you can still be let go at the end of the year. So my brand new teachers are fearful because they have no security net, not even if they prove to be a really great teacher. They can be let go because they're not a fit for the school. So my teachers are really feeling put upon, I guess is the best term I can use. They feel like everything is being blamed on them, and they're not allowed to do their jobs. They can't be creative. They can't be innovative. We are given a curriculum. We are told to stay to a script. We are told how many minutes to teach certain subjects, and you're supposed to teach the exact same thing in every single classroom. So it's really sucked the joy of teaching out of teachers, and it sucked the joy of learning out of our students. So my new teachers are fearful. My seasoned teachers are had enough. And the second they have enough years in to retire, they exit. And those teachers used to at least wait till the end of the school year. But if their time happens to expire in October or December or January or February, they'll go then, because that's how ludicrous the system has become.
There was another rally in Tallahassee, this one having to do with the state voucher system. And that, again, is the system that allows some students to use scholarships, some of it state-funded, some of it corporate donations, to attend private schools, religious schools. The folks who were in Tallahassee protesting are basically asking the association to drop its lawsuit against the state on this. What do you say to those parents?
That's not going to happen. That's what I say to those parents, and this is what I say to the people that orchestrated that. This is a for-profit for them. Many of the people that came and spoke at the rally are ministers or bishops who are benefiting financially from those children coming to their church schools. When you look at the numbers, there's about, it used to be 70,000. It's probably risen to about 80,000 now. Here's our take. We believe it's unconstitutional because in the Constitution, in the Florida Constitution, it says it is a paramount duty of the Florida legislature to provide a free, high-quality, uniform public education system. Not a parallel system, not a for-profit system, but a uniform public school system. They are taking the resources that really belong in the general revenue to be distributed for education to these for-profit schools. Here's our concern with for-profit schools. They don't teach the same standards. They don't have the same rules. They don't have to give the same tests or accountability. Yet they get all of this money with no accountability. Their teachers do not have to be certified, and the schools don't have to be accredited. So I'm concerned, number one, that these students are really getting a quality education, because we have seen where schools have closed and seniors were running back to their public schools trying to get enough credits to graduate after they had been at these charter and for-profit schools. So it's a concern about that. And I believe that they're violating the Constitution. And the more underlying problem for me is, if we believe that these 300 schools that the state has identified are underperforming schools, and these students are getting vouchers to leave that, to get out, to get a better education, what about the kids you're leaving behind? We should be talking about those schools and what we do in those schools to make it a great education for everybody, not just the 70,000 that can take a voucher and go. This is a systemic problem, because these schools are mostly in high poverty neighborhoods. And the Florida legislature doesn't want to talk about poverty, because they don't believe poverty matters in that regard. But these schools should have more resources than an affluent school. These schools should have the most qualified, certified, seasoned teachers there are. They should have before and after school programs, both to help with academics and extracurricular. They should make sure that the kids' medical needs are taken care of, because most of these kids go without medical care, and you need to make sure they have a well-balanced meal for breakfast, lunch, and you know what? Maybe dinner.
I mentioned earlier that teacher certificate applications in the state have dropped in recent years. In Broward and Palm Beach counties, we're dealing with teacher shortages. This is all over the state. And you mentioned just a little while ago, too, that some teachers are just leaving as soon as they can. So in this environment, how do you convince a teacher to stay in the field?
It's tough. It's really tough. We do not have people that want to come to the state. They want to go to a state where they're valued. The system we have in place, where your pay is judged whether you can advance on the pay scale by your test scores. You're an annual contract teacher if you're coming now, so you have no security. And then you're told what you can and can't teach, and it's high stress. We have a lot of teachers that are, it's the highest stress level that we've ever had. We just did a stress survey of our members, asking them, is their stress better or worse? And it's off the charts. And we also asked them, would they stay? And we also asked them, where did they see themselves in 5 years? Many of them that were at retirement age said being retired. Many of them said they would leave the profession. So it's a huge problem that this state has created. And I will say it's the Florida legislature that has created it. Teachers believe in standards. Teachers believe in accountability. But it's a system that should be done with us, not to us. And it should never be an I got you. An evaluation system should judge the teacher from start to finish, not just testing. It should judge whether a teacher is nurturing, what they do outside of the school day with their students. It should include a portfolio of the student's work. Not all kids are great test takers, but a lot of kids get the concepts and can show you in other ways. So there's a lot of things. If we change the evaluation system, if we paid teachers better, if we treated teachers with respect and dignity and treated them like professionals, those types of things would make the profession more enticing to bring people in. But as it stands now, I have to tell you, it's hard to convince people to come work in Florida. It's hard to convince our university students who are student members of FEA to stay in the state. Most of them leave the state.
When I look at international surveys where teaching the profession is respected and revered. U.S. is not high on the list. So it kind of comes back to this last question I asked you, but really, what do you think has to happen to encourage young people, whether they're in high school or in college, to even consider going into the teaching profession?
There's a couple things we can do, but the first part starts with the Florida legislature. They should repeal Senate Bill 736 and start over. We should be at the table talking about what teacher evaluation systems should look like and what would be great. And they should restore professional service contracts to teachers so that they can have some job security. And it is not, PSC does not stop someone from firing a teacher. If you're a bad teacher, there was a process in place where you could be fired, and it was pretty easy. But how that system worked was for 3 years, you were on an annual contract teacher, and if you had good evaluations and you were doing a good job, then you were offered a professional service contract. And then after that, your job was guaranteed. Only if you were doing a good job, because if you're not doing a good job, there are ways to document that and fire a teacher. So that was the premise of why they went to annual contract. They said that it was too hard to fire a teacher. If what it's done is it's created a teacher shortage because nobody feels valued. It's also difficult for teachers to make ends meet because we're probably $10,000 below the national average. And they also are having very difficult times getting home loans and car loans because they don't have any guaranteed employment. So those are things that are important. And I think the Florida legislature can take the first step and start doing those things for teachers to make sure that we are recruiting and retaining the best teachers. The second thing I'm going to say is it's up to the public. The public likes their public schools. If you do a survey, teachers are at the top of the chart, right underneath, right above cops and firefighters. And legislators are clear at the bottom when you see who the public trusts. So the public likes their public school teachers and they like their public school. They just think it's somebody else's school that's bad. So they need to be standing up and speaking up for their public schools. And they need to remember that it's their vote that will matter, and we should be electing people in November that will come to Tallahassee with real Floridians at heart. They should be caring about what our Florida folks need and want. And our Florida folks want a high-quality public school for everybody in this state, not just some, and it shouldn't be defined by your zip code.
We've been talking about the life of teachers in Florida, some of the challenges they face in the state, and of course, our challenge of retaining and recruiting them. And we've been talking with Joanne McCall, president of the Florida Education Association. Joanne, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
This is WLRN Miami Herald News. I'm Luis Hernandez.